This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound?
NRA spokesperson Dana Lash joins us now to react. Dana, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's good to see you all this morning. I'm always supportive of people going out and expressing their First Amendment right. Look, I don't want to make apologies for my Second Amendment right, so I don't expect people to make apologies for their First Amendment right. I do wish, though, that we had some in the political class that would stop trying to exploit this six ways to Sunday for their own political gain. Now, I know that the walkouts yesterday were organized by the Women's March, which are dealing with some serious anti-Semitic accusations right now, which maybe perhaps wasn't the best optic, but I think that they make it harder for people to be heard when they try to get some of the attention that these kids are getting right now from everyone because they're going out and expressing their viewpoints.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, Dana, because to me, my instinct would be let's protect the schools and then talk about how to do that.
Right.
But it seems as though the message was blame the NRA and blame President Trump in many cases.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense at all because President Trump wasn't the one down in Parkland not paying attention to the 45 calls, nor were any law-abiding gun owners who are NRA members. You know, Sheriff Israel had the best day yesterday because nobody was talking about him. And I think that that's how he wants it. No one was talking about his incompetency. No one was talking about his failure to stand up for those kids by answering the 45 calls that came into his department, including calls from the murderer's mother herself, who was even warning law enforcement that this murderer had put a gun to her head before. This, of course, after reports came out that he had punched her so hard in the face, he knocked her teeth out. And I want everyone to not forget that the school also had a file on him, a mental health file, because he had been meeting with therapists, where he was telling therapists that all of his gory fantasies about school shootings. Miami Herald has done absolutely amazing work on this that no one is really paying attention to aside from you all.
Blame game. When we get into the blame game, absence of due process. You know, the facts eventually come out, and they're coming out in this whole situation. And, you know, and again, you get the cover up. You get people covering their back ends, whether it's law enforcement, the local law enforcement with the sheriff there. There's just so many things that have occurred to allow this to happen. As Dana was saying, you've got, reports coming, from psychiatrist, the school itself, and of course, you got HIPAA laws that come into play too. And these things need to be addressed so that we understand what it is that we're dealing with. You know, when is it? And I'm not sure what that is. But obviously I think we need to talk about it and determine, okay, what happens? You know, when is the line drawn? When do we begin to do something? You see something, you say something, but when is it appropriate to do something? And are we going to have to deal with maybe a mistake or two or three or maybe hundreds of mistakes along the way as we process this out? Because clearly it's different times. This is not the America that we grew up with. It's the America that we have right now, where you have people upset that are willing to, set off multiple bombs in Austin, Texas, like what we've gone through, a situation where school is not safe and hasn't been safe for a long time. And this idea of gun-free zones, I mean, idiotic. I mean, this is brought to you by progressive, those on the left that live in the world of theory. And they live in the world of theory at our expense. I mean, we just went through 8 years with a president that his administration was run by theory, in my humble opinion. Let's ignore the empirical evidence. Let's ignore history. And let's just go off this theory. It's like, like you were involved in some sort of coffee clatch in a faculty, break room where, all these liberals get together and start, hey, talking. Yeah, that's a cool idea, man. That's really great. And it's like, it's almost like, yeah, that's great. Hang on just a second. I got to take another hit here as I delude my mind and my consciousness to come up with this other, far out unproven concept that puts people at risk, causes people to lose their jobs and all the devastation that we went through for the last 8 years. When is enough enough? This is why we're about pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way you like us. Fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Tweet to your heart's content at BMartinezLive. Jack Carr joins us now. He is a career Navy SEAL author. Author as well. I know sometimes when you hear Navy SEAL and author together, you go, how does that happen? You know, but talent ebbs and flows, and even for Navy SEALs. And he's not the first Navy SEAL who's also become an author. We've had many, and many have been here on the show. So, Jack, first of all, let me say, thank you for your service to our country, the home of the free and land of the brave. For all that you've contributed to our freedoms, we thank you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. It was an honor to do it as long as I did.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you are now an author. Did you ever think you'd hear that?
I did. I was the two things I wanted to do for most of my, not just adult life, but young life. One was to serve my country in uniform as a SEAL, and the other was to eventually write fiction. So I was 7 years old about the same time I made that the decision to do both of those things, and just kept my eye on that goal of becoming a SEAL through junior high school, college, and then did that. And so as I was finishing up my time in the military, I knew it was time to start pursuing that next dream. So I ended up just focusing on writing, and the terminal list is the result.
Exactly. Well, Jack, I've heard from other writers when they have determined early in their life that they want to be writers, they found themselves writing something every day. Was that the case for you as well?
No, it was not. So so very early on, my focus was military. I knew that I was not going to write first and then try to join the military. It was going to be that focus on being the best special operator I could possibly be. So that was really my focus. And then when you're in the military, what you owe the guys under your command is that full, total commitment, dedication, and focus. So,
yeah, without it.
So them, their families, the country, the mission. So there wasn't really time to think about anything else. And most of the reading that I did was all focused on where we were going. Lessons learned from people that had been in Iraq and Afghanistan before us, the politics, the religion, culture, economy of where we were going, just so that I could make better decisions under stress for the guys and for the mission. So that was really my focus for the last 20 years. But getting out, when you're kind of near the end of your time in the military and you let them know that you're getting out, that you're not taking guys downrange anymore. So I had time to take a breath and revisit some of those books that I liked to read growing up, with political military thrillers in the same vein as a Tom Clancy, David Morrell, Nelson DeMille, that sort of thing. So the focus was really on the military and on being the best leader I could be, but now it's on writing.
Yeah, and to that point, they have compared your book, The Terminal List, to Vince Flynn, his first book, Term Limits, and Brad Thor as well. And so you've gotten some excellent accolades. This has to be quite affirming for you.
Oh, it's such an honor to be compared to those guys. Mm-hmm. Brad Thor has become and I wouldn't have a publishing deal without Brad Thor. So mm-hmm. I'm forever grateful to him. I was able to meet Vince Flynn before he passed away. I think it was in 2010, where I mm-hmm. met him at SHOT Show, which is an industry show in Vegas with all the new gear and guns and equipment. And I'd go to that every year just to make sure there was nothing we needed to go downrange that was being developed in the private sector that, mm-hmm. that I didn't know about yet. So
exactly.
Got to meet him, and it was well before I spent a lot of time left in the military when I met Vince Flynn. So mm-hmm. I didn't tell him I wanted to be an author at the mm-hmm. time, but he could not have been more generous with his time. And I remember asking him, hey, do you ever wake up or do you ever think about what if somebody read Term Limits that had the skills to actually do what you've written about? Do you ever worry about that? And he wakes up every morning and thinks of that. So I'll never forget him telling me that. One of my favorite books.
And that's the thing, when you're writing, your imagination takes over, you get insight, you know, in much the same way as, you know, leading a SEAL team. You're looking at situational awareness, you're adapting to conditions, all those things. And so even as a writer, you adapt with new information, ideas that pop into your head, probably a bit of genius that comes in. You go, where the heck did that come from?
Right. Very true. And, you know, being on the battlefield, all about creative problem solving.
Yes.
Same thing in writing. So as I wrote this, and the hero of the story, his name is James Reese, as he would encounter problems, I had to figure out here that creative problem solving had to come into play again. Like, mm-hmm. How am I going to solve this problem? So it was a great exercise. I've enjoyed every single part of the process, and just feel so fortunate to be in this position.
Well, and rumor has it that this could be movie bound, huh?
This I wish I could confirm right now, but I've sworn to secrecy. So hopefully it'll be seen soon. But
we'll hold to the code. We'll hold to the code. We'll
right.
put you on it. You know, in this book, you know, Terminal List. This whole idea, this is, you know, born out of, you know, as some have said, whenever anything is created, you say, how long did it take you to do that? And they say, well, you know, probably 3 years plus a lifetime. And it seems like what went into this was all your past experiences as well as, you know, the immediate time that you were aware, right?
No, I think that's exactly it. And I think it's resonating with readers right now, and why it resonated with Simon & Schuster when I sent it off to them, is that even though it's 100% fiction, the emotions that the protagonist feels as he goes along his journey throughout this narrative are all things that I felt at some point over the last 20 years. So I took those emotions and applied them to this fictional narrative.
Right.
Maybe a much more personal writing experience than I thought. I thought when I started, hey, I'm just going to write a great adventure story, a great thriller about revenge without constraint.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I wrote, and it became much more personal than I thought, and very, very therapeutic in a lot of ways. But I think that authenticity really comes out from the written page there. And is resonating with people.
Right. You know, Jack, you were mentioning earlier, and my thought was, boy, do we need your philosophy right now in our country. And, you know, if we could download this into the kids, into the future, you know, of our kids and our grandkids down the road in terms of, you know, your experience in Navy leadership, what you experienced in assessing a situation, having that adaptability and, you know, wisdom and focus at hand to deal with the things that are most important. I mean, it's pretty clear cut, you know, having been a former Marine and not been on the battlefield, but through the training that I went through, it's a life and death, you know, consequence here. Those are the options. So what are you going to do on the battlefield to promote life and to mitigate death?
Right. So explore that a little bit. You probably noticed that. In the pages there, it's born.
Yes.
But what does it really mean to, you know, to take a life? And really, it's saving the lives of your team, of your fellow countrymen. So, so that comes out in the writing there. Some of the leadership philosophy that worked for me over the last 20 years comes out through the pages as well. So once again, yeah, really personal experience to write and explore. And the book two is well underway right now. It's a few Simon & Schuster this summer. So same thing is going on with that. And for this first one, I think I got this from Stephen Pressfield, and he wrote Gates of Fire. He wrote Legend of Bagger Vance, and he has a series on creativity in general. And a lot of it applies to writing because obviously he's an author.
Right.
He wrote for every book put a yellow sticky on the side. I think it was for him, it's his typewriter.
Hey, Jack, hang on one second. We got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there when we come back. Jack Carr is with us. It's 15 after the top of the hour.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
More taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Wanna go back. with you. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Jack Carr is with us. We're talking about his brand-new book, Terminal List. Looks like it's going to the big screen. That's a little bit of a secret. That's all I can tell you right now. Stay tuned. The response and acceptance of this novel has just been incredible. You know, we're talking a former Navy SEAL, now-turned author. And, Jack, I had to interrupt you because we had to go to break, but I want you to finish your story about the sticky notes.
Yeah, so I got it from Stephen Pressfield, and he would write the theme of each one of his novels on a yellow sticky and put it next to his typewriter. So I did the same thing, and I wrote Revenge and put that right next to my computer. And anytime I had a paragraph, a chapter, an idea, and it didn't tie back somehow to that theme of revenge, and in this case, revenge without constraint, then I would either get rid of it, not do it, or if I had already written it, it made editing and getting rid of that a lot easier. So that was the main theme. But some of those sub-themes that are more timely is that government overreach in times of peril, is the NSA surveillance against U.S. citizens without their consent and that sort of thing. So some of the issues are very timely, but we also have this age-old theme of revenge that really is very primal and takes us back to, you know, the earliest days of telling stories around the campfire.
Exactly. Well, Jack, don't mean to put you on the spot here, but, you know, no doubt the life that you've led on the battlefield as a Navy SEAL, you are an American war hero. I mean, we saw here recently in South Florida where there were people that hesitated to confront danger, confront evil. It was a very costly decision that was made. And one of the things that we're starting to realize, I think here in this country, is not everybody is wired to go into danger. We saw this in 9/11. There were a few people, first responders, as the buildings were burning down, that ran into danger to save people. You know, when somebody with a gun, not everybody can confront somebody, an evil person with a gun. It is a unique wiring that takes place. When we spoke with Rob O'Neill, you know, we talked about sheepdogs. We need more sheepdogs. But there are a set number of sheepdogs who are looking out that are situationally aware. And this is what you did for a living because it was part of the wiring and the way you were constructed. The other thing is not only are you an American war hero, but you're a hero as a dad for what you've experienced at home at a time when, you know, we have fatherlessness quite rampant in our country. You know, a lot of kids are losing out because their dads aren't there for whatever reason. And I don't say whatever reason, like toss it up there. The fact of the matter is that these kids are without a dad. So you have exampled to many people what it is to be a father, especially with what you've had to deal with in raising a severely disabled child. Tell us about that, if you would, Jack.
Yeah, so I mean, my wife had to deal with you know, most of it while I was overseas doing the job, because once again, you have to keep your eye on that mission and that your complete focus on that. So my wife really dealt with most of it until we decided to get out of the military. But yeah, we have the middle child who has something called a mutation of the NR2F1 gene. It's the 13th person in the world that they found with this. And interestingly enough, I'm in book tour right now, and I'm in Dallas. And the only reason we have that diagnosis is because somebody told Ross Perot our story. So in 2013, someone told Ross Perot our story. He said, get him on the phone. And so he calls me out of the blue, sounding exactly like Dana Carvey impersonating Ross Perot. He's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure enough, he assembled a team of genetic specialists here at Southwestern Medical Center outside of Dallas, and flew our son out and us with a nurse on board the plane and the whole deal, and sent our blood all around the world and found a researcher in the Netherlands that had just discovered this genetic mutation. So we were able to put a name to what we were dealing with, which really helped us, and I got to go visit with Mr. Perot yesterday and just thank him.
Oh, very cool.
And for all he did for us. I know he does a lot behind the scenes for the military and for military families that he doesn't want recognition for, but I know he does just an enormous amount to help people, and he's just a great man.
Well, that's awesome. A shout out to your son, his name and age.
Well, we're going to keep all that a little more private.
All right.
But He's a sweet little guy. He's 10 years old and has a great smile, but he's 24/7 full-time care forever.
I understand and respect the privacy wholeheartedly, but want him to be aware. Our prayers are with you, with him, this is a tough situation. And oftentimes when I speak with parents that are dealing with a disabled child, they don't even talk about the disability. They just talk about the blessing. You know, we had an extended conversation with Nick Vujicic. I don't know if you're familiar with Nick's story, but he was born with arms and legs, and he has become an international phenomenon, you know, talking to kids across the country, around the world, just building them up. And you see this kid that his parents raised him to be able and capable. I mean, there's some funny video here, Jack. You would just die laughing, you know, because they asked him, you know, he's not afraid to do anything. And and his buddies go, well, can you swim? He goes, well, you know, I don't know. I've never tried. And the thing is, well, all he has, you know, for a foot, he calls it a flipper. He goes, that's all he's got. He's, I got this little flipper. Well, wow. You know, next thing you know, they throw him in water. And, you know, I thought, all of a sudden, it kind of reminded me of being back in boot camp when I was in the Marine Corps. They just threw him in water, and he's bobbing. You're going, oh, my God, you know, what's going on? And next thing you know, he's on his back, and he's got his little flipper going like a little rudder. I mean, he's just, you know, this kid, he's incredible. I say this kid, I mean, he's now in his mid-30s. He's since got married. He's got two kids, and he's quite the success story. And his dad, who passed away in 2017, Boris, and we had extended conversations with Boris. He just, you know, he loved Nick and just encouraged him. He and his wife just encouraged him, and he's just an incredible blessing. And there was no concept of disability with this child, and I sense that's the same way with you.
Well, I think the story you just told that exemplifies baptism by fire. Bruce Camp just tossing you in and seeing what happens.
Exactly.
For the best. I was looking at maybe able to conceptualize really any of this, which is why I'm very conscious of the security aspect here, because he will never be situationally aware enough to defend himself and protect himself, so that falls on the family. And, you know, having this, it makes us more compassionate.
Without a doubt.
Having a stronger family, a stronger team as we deal with this. So it's our next mission in life is to make sure he's taken care of with a lifetime of full-time care. So that's our next mission.
And the capacity, you know, for love and respect for life that you have as a result, I'm sure, has been enlarged because of the experiences that you've undergone with him, right?
Well, without a doubt. You can play the cards cards you're dealt and realize that you get to some of these things for a reason. And the reason we have him is that we're strong enough to help him reach his full potential, whatever that may be, and hopefully inspire some other families along the way.
Well, Jack, congratulations on the book, The Terminal List. You say already number two. You've got the sticky note next to number two as you're writing. You're writing that down.
Certainly do. Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
And so the takeaway, I mean, this is a real page turner. People, you know, that have not got their hands on the book, available at all the usual places, correct?
Correct, and audio and e-book as well. So it's out there anywhere books are sold. And the response has been just overwhelming, and the support from other authors out there has been just nothing short of astounding. And I just, like I said, I feel so fortunate to be in this position, and I hope everybody enjoys the read.
Well, it's a successful first book. People are lauding your praises. The forecast is everything and up for one Jack Carr. The takeaway of this book, if there is a takeaway here, Jack, I know it's a novel, but what do you want the reader to enjoy?
Yeah, well, I want to have a great ride, first of all. That's the main thing. And if they go a little deeper and really question some of that government overreach in times of peril and how much liberty and freedom we're willing to give up under the guise of added security. So that's something people can ponder, not just through this book, because of what they know of history and see in the news each and every day. So
exactly.
That'd be the deeper question to ponder.
Well, a career Navy SEAL, father of a special needs child, and author of the new book, The Terminal List, on Bill Martinez Live. Jack, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
No matter what comes my way, I'll let my life radiate your light now, always.
Bill Martinez, live.
I'll let my life only for your name.
Hey, it's Way Like Me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and independent as well, because it gives us an incredible amount of freedom to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. To this point, Matt Abbott is joining us now. He's a Catholic commentator. He writes regularly for Renew America. Matt, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Oh, very good, and thank you very much for having me, Bill.
Hey, I want to talk about, a lingering murder case that's been going on, you know, for a couple of decades here. I guess for all intents and purposes, a cold case murder of Father Alfred Kuntz, and it's now entering its 20th year. Tell our audience about this. Give us some background.
Well, in March 4th, 1998, Father Kuntz was found dead in the school hallway of his parish in Dane, Wisconsin, which is just a little north of Madison, Wisconsin. His throat had been cut. He is, or rather was, a priest and canon lawyer who at one time had worked for the marriage tribunal in the Diocese of Madison. And he also was a renowned priest. I had a following of Catholics who attended the parish and his masses, because he did offer the traditional Latin mass in addition to the English Novus Ordo Mass.
He's my kind of priest. I am so old school Latin. To be honest with you, a confession here, Matt, in front of God and everybody, and you on the radio show here, is that I had a hard time converting, maybe because I was an altar boy, and I spent all that time learning all the Latin responses. And then all of a sudden, okay, it's the Mass of the Vernacular. I guess it was then I realized I was more conservative than I thought.
Well, I think, yeah, even myself, I was kind of drawn to the Latin Mass. In the mid-90s, really, I began to attend a parish in Chicago. And, when I read about the murder of Father Koontz in a Catholic newspaper called The Wanderer, I thought it was tragic, but I assumed that there would have been an arrest, in the subsequent days or weeks. And as time went by, there was nothing and there was nothing and then there was nothing. And here we are 20 years later and there's still really nothing, at least, that I know of or behind the scenes, obviously they have collected some evidence and information. And it's hard to say exactly how close they are to solving the case. There are times where it seems that they're fairly close to solving it, but there are other times where it seems that they really aren't. Mm-hmm. So it does remain quite a big mystery, and there's been, several theories over the years as to what may have led to the murder. And it was just a case that I find very interesting and have followed for the last, I would say, 16 years or so.
Uh-huh. What is it that, has kind of just stuck with you about this case?
I think here you have, again, a priest who, was beloved by many, who was staunchly pro-life, was, from many accounts, faithful to the magisterium of the church. And, he died in a very brutal way. And the other aspect of this is it was reported that he was assisting with investigations into corrupt clergy at the time of his murder. And, of course, we see what happened in 2002 with the explosion of the clergy sex abuse scandal. So in a way, I think there was some stuff going on behind the scenes prior to that. And Father Koontz may have been, involved in certain investigations, at least on the church level. And he was assisting a gentleman who lives in southern Illinois, Stephen Brady, who had an organization called Roman Catholic Faithful. Roman Catholic Faithful was investigating the bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, and actually the bishop of the Springfield Diocese, his name was Daniel Ryan. He ended up resigning 2 years after Father Koontz was murdered. And I know that the investigators did look at that angle. I don't know whether they really believe that there was a connection there. But Father Koontz did advise Stephen Brady and provided him, I think, with some useful information over time. Mm-hmm. And so, that was certainly something that very much piqued my interest. And, to this day, I wonder if that, in fact, was a possibility or was a motive for Father's murder. Of course, there have been other theories put forth too. So, that aspect of the case I found very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other theories was he was involved with homelessness, right? And maybe that was a possibility in terms of a road that would lead to the killer. Is that maybe it was some rogue homeless individual, for whatever reason, kind of a random act of evil on the priest, right?
I think that, I know at times, he certainly did assist those who were in need. And I know that, the angle of a burglary was something that was considered. And again, it's something that can't be entirely ruled out.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though investigators believe that he was targeted, that he did know his killer.
Mm-hmm.
And, in some ways they actually did a profile, probably more than one profile earlier in the investigation, I guess, that led them to that conclusion. But again, even the theft or robbery angle is not something that can be entirely ruled out. I tend to believe that, it was someone he knew, as to how well he knew the person or, kind of what led up to that, That I don't know. I'm assuming. I know investigators have, I think, some knowledge of that, but, they're very tight-lipped about it still at this point, although in the social media campaign that they initiated.
I wanted to ask you about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Well, the social media, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. The social media campaign was something that the Dane County Sheriff's Office decided to initiate in order to generate new leads to help solve the case. So mm-hmm. it was something that they originally started a Facebook page that was actually supposed to be in the voice of Father Coon speaking from beyond the grave.
Oh, wow.
But apparently that did not go over well with Facebook, and they shut the page down. And they tried to get the page back up, and they actually, I guess, were working with someone at Facebook who understood what they were doing, but nonetheless, they weren't able to keep that going. So they put the information on their own Facebook page. And it was interesting because it was, if you will, tidbits of information that had not been previously released. Mm-hmm. And I think the sheriff's idea was that, you know, in the past, well, they wanted to keep the information, if you will, close to the vest, but mm-hmm. at this point, maybe in order to help solve the case, they need to release some of that information. And I think it was a good idea. In fact, in some ways, I wish they had done that several years ago.
Right.
But, you know, I'm glad they went ahead and did that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's tough when you're in a situation when you've run out of clues and run its course. And I think there's a TV show these days that, it, you know, crowdfunds these ideas, so to speak. And, you know, this is, you know, something quite novel in this social media age in which we live in, that you just don't know, kind of like we've been talking about the Unabomber once again, because of the bombings that have been taking place in Texas. And they were hoping, you know, as they were looking for clues, you know, kind of like what they finally got with the Unabomber, they got a manifesto, and it was his brother who said, whoa, that's my brother's language, you know, that's his style. It might be him, you know, so and go figure, it ended up being. So whatever clue, and you just don't know when you're putting it out there, we're just so close. I think at one point we were 6 degrees away from meeting any one person. Now it's down to, you know, three people to meet anybody in the world. So we're becoming more and more approximate as time moves on and things that we can find out. Did they determine the time of death here? Have they reported that certainly?
You know, I believe that they think the time of death or the murder, you know, took place not long after 10:30 p.m. on March 3rd. It might have been, you know, sometime after that, but he did reportedly talk to a priest on the phone at 10:30, and this was after he had been dropped off by another priest, his friend, Father Charles Fiore, after they had come back from taping a radio show.
Uh-huh.
And I think investigators believe that he was murdered sometime either very late the night of March 3rd or very early the morning of March 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I tend to think that they might have something more pinned down in that regard that they haven't publicly released. But
well, we got to go to break right now, Matt, so stay with us. Matt Abbott is with us. We're talking about Father Coons right after this.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906, 800-296-0906, 800-296-0906.
This is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. In many parts of the country, it's starting to get cooler, and some areas have already had a significant amount of snow. Perhaps where you live, rapid changes in temperatures, highs and lows, can make you susceptible to getting a cold or even the flu. One of the places veterans have forgotten about for getting their flu shots is the Veterans Administration. So here's your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your closest community health care center. Give them a call and see if they're giving flu shots now. And if not, find out when they're going to start. Ask about what days and times they will administer the shots and the best time for you to come. And by the way, while you're on the phone with them, ask them about pneumonia shots. Get your shots now and avoid the long lines during flu season standing in front of all those sick people. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now
at 800-667-9035.
Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home.
Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
You know that I'm always afraid. You know my heart will stay. Whenever I go my way. Whenever I start to break.
With you 14 minutes before the top of the hour, America. Bill Martinez here as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads with Matt Abbott right now as we talk about this cold case murder of a Catholic priest who, Matt, you were saying that he did a regular Catholic radio program, right?
Yes, he did. There was a gentleman named Peter Kelly, who is a Catholic attorney and author, who was the host of that radio program, and it was taped about an hour away from where Father Koontz resided. And, he was, I know, a regular guest on that show, and, I've never had the opportunity to listen, to his program, but I would imagine it would have been quite interesting in seeing some of the topics they covered, and you know, that happened to be the last show that he was on. The day that he came back, was dropped off, and then he was murdered.
You have this sense, at least with the limited background and understanding that I have of Father Koontz, he just gives me the sense that he was a priest, if that's fair. Is that fair?
I would say so, yes. I mean, from all that I understand, I mean, those who, you know, I know, who I've talked to, who knew him, I think that's a very good description. And, you know, I think that, you know, he was a very charitable man. And I really do think, you know, he cared for the souls of those who attended his parish. And, you know, he had a very good knowledge, of course, of church law, and really assisted those who, you know, were in difficult situations. And I think it was a great loss.
Yeah. And it's noted that he had a wit about him, didn't he?
A wit? Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that a friend of mine actually was talking to him on the phone and was kind of half jokingly saying, you know, every time I meet a man at church, he seems to enter the priesthood. And Father Kutch's response was, well, we really need you out on the front lines.
Yeah, if you're a magnet for that direction, why not? Hey, we all have a job to do. Why not?
So, exactly.
Yeah, so to sum this up, and, I got to tell you, Matt, I appreciate your focus on this, for 20 years. I mean, here we are, the 20-year anniversary, still unsolved, and you would think that this is a basic homicide, but, you know, there's something. I mean, how could we be missing something here, especially for someone who is godly? And, for those of us who are people of faith and believe that God is a God of justice, that our prayers are not going unanswered, there's just something that is blocking it. And that's what we need to pray against, is it not?
Exactly, exactly. I think, it was permitted by God for a reason, and hopefully in God's time there will be a resolution. I'm not optimistic that the case is going to be solved, but I do have hope that it can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Again, certainly if people know of any information that could lead to a break in the case, I would recommend that they contact the sheriff's office and, provide whatever information they may know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, at break, you and I were talking about, the politics of the Catholic Church. And I frankly, that's out of my consideration. I never thought of it that way until I read Philip Lawler's book, Lost Shepherd, How Pope Francis is Misleading His Flock. And we had Phil on the show, talked to him about this, and I could sense in our conversation that this was not an easy book for him to write. It was quite painful. But I thought quite interesting because, as you and I were talking about politics within the Catholic Church, reflecting, what's happening here, even in America, kind of a globalistic approach versus a nationalistic approach. And it simplifies it a bit, but I think you can, for most people, they can kind of understand. It's like, who would have thought that the Catholic Church would be reflecting, the general trajectory of the current culture?
Is very much divided, as of course the political landscape here in the United States. You have many Catholic liberals, you have many Catholic conservatives, or as I would like to call them, Orthodox Catholics, and I count myself as an Orthodox Catholic. But there certainly is a lot of division, and I think that will continue for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Lawler certainly is a good person to look at and to read for what is going on in the church today. Yeah. And I think that book, should be very good and would be of interest to a lot of Catholics and non-Catholics who, just want to maybe see a little more what has been going on these last few years and to a certain degree even the last several decades.
Exactly. Well, Pope Francis came in such a way that he was like the hero, coming in and riding into Rome and all these good things and positive momentum. But what's been playing out, as you say, has just been this real clear divide between liberal theology and conservative theology. And the bishops are, are a bit of struggle. And, what you're hearing from the inner workings, what Phil was reporting on, is that, you better go along, that the Pope is not, a genteel leader, that he's definitive about how he wants things to go, and, and it better go that way.
As some have called it, the dictatorship of mercy.
We love the Jesuits. We love the Jesuits. They have such a sense of humor.
That's true. That's true. It's very Jesuitical. I went to a Jesuit high school, so there are certainly some good Jesuits out there, and God bless them. But there are a number of them who really have strayed from the path, and that's unfortunate.
Well, and that's like, you know, all things human. You know, and that's the challenge that we have is, are we going to subject ourselves and yield ourselves to the sovereignty of God, or are we going to see things according to our own eyes? And, I have faith in Catholics at large and the structure of Catholicism, you know, to find its way. It always goes through a process. But like I shared with you, I know that this was, in talking with Phil, you could sense that this was, it was not an easy book for him to write. Because as you and I know, when you're raised Catholic, you just sense that, boy, if you talk in any type of form of blasphemy or heresy, that the floor is going to open up and swallow you up in an instant. I mean, I had nuns that, you know, taught us very well on those lines.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the whole idea of the fear of God in the Catholic Church, boy, you, unless you were born and raised under it, you know, I was talking with somebody else the other day. I said, you know, when I went in the Marine Corps, one of the reasons I said the Marine Corps was not as tough as it could have been was because I was raised basically by nuns, you know, during my formative years in school. And so a drill instructor versus a nun, I mean, the drill instructors had nothing on the nuns.
Oh, sure. I think that, you know, the nuns of old certainly were far different than the current crop of nuns. And again, there are some very good nuns in the, mm-hmm. the day and age. But again, sadly, many of them have gone off the reservation as well.
Yeah. Well, look at the job they had, Matt. I mean, when I was going to school, it was not unheard of to have like 55, you know, 56 kids in a classroom. And you were teaching two grades at the same time. So their dedication to building, I mean, you couldn't mess around. I mean, it was about discipline if you were going to, you know, get the job done. So, you know, it's not a snowflake kingdom, at least in the Catholic schools that I went to.
Sure. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, and I'm sure that obviously the differences from back in the day to the present day are significant. But you know, maybe certain aspects, certain changes for the better. But certainly the way the faith is being taught, I think, is present in many Catholic schools, and that goes for, you know, elementary schools, high schools, and mm-hmm. colleges and universities. It's very watered down, and it really is. An overall very poor catechesis, and I mm-hmm. think as a result, you know, you have a number of Catholics who are unaware of what the Church really teaches in certain areas, and I mean, some of them understand full well, and maybe simply don't accept those teachings, mm-hmm. but I can't lay the entire blame on the teachers, you know, on the nuns, and even on the priests, but they certainly share a decent portion of the blame, I would say. You know, and again, of course, there are a number of good priests and religious who are doing a wonderful job, so I certainly don't want to lump them all into a negative category. So.
Yeah. Well, I think this is an opportunity to understand what leadership is all about. And, you know, I think what I'm hearing here is that there's confusion unnecessarily raising its head within the Catholic Church because leadership has moved away, you know, in much the same way that we have here in America. I mean, there's certain laws. We say we're a nation of laws and we've moved away from it. And then we wonder why we have chaos. I think there's certain laws and rules, you know, godly commands within the Catholic Church that need to be adhered to, and when we fail to do that and we want to see things, as the Bible would say, according to our own eyes and bring in a humanistic viewpoint, we start getting on slippery ground, and as a result, people feel like, you know, can I count on the Catholic Church anymore? There's it seems to be a little unstable because the foundation seems to be shaking. But, yep. You know, hey, God, it's God's popcorn stand, so he's still in charge, so we trust in that, don't we?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Hopefully we'll see some of that confusion clear up.
Exactly. Well, Matt Abbott has been with us on Bill Martinez Live. Matt, great work. Appreciate all the information. Stay in touch, buddy. Okay?
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Bill.
Take care. God bless.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis.
office.
If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your